Welcome back to Cherish Nature's Gift, the podcast season 2, where we discuss and celebrate all things parenthood. From the ups and downs of breastfeeding, the unspoken fourth trimester of parenthood, planning for your next baby, and preparing as baby enters toddlerhood, we're here to journey with you.
Join us as we unpack the many facets of parenthood with our panel experts and Haagen moms as they share their own parenthood journey with us. Everyone, we are back on season 2 of Cherish Nature's Gift, the podcast. I'm Alison, and here with me is my co-host Rebecca.
Hi everyone, my name is Rebecca and I'm a mother of a 6-year-old boy. His name is Damien. He's like your regular 6-year-old boy, very active, very chatty, loves his Legos, loves running around. Yes, and it gets me very tired every time. Yes, so that's me.
We also have our Haagen mom, Ros.
Hi guys, thanks for having me. My name is Ros, I'm an actress. I am also a new first-time mom of, I think, beautiful baby girl called Raimi. She just turned 3 months and loving the journey so far.
Thank you so much for coming on our show. So Ros is freshly out of the fourth trimester since Raimi just turned 3 months. And I must say she is really adorable. So I personally follow her on Instagram as well. And, you know, since Ros is, you know, a new mom, we want to also have her on the show to talk about, you know, becoming mother, embracing your new identity as a new mom, as well as if motherhood is a gain or a sacrifice. Yeah, so to dive right into the story, how did you know that, you know, you want kids? And was there any moment in time where you recall wanting to have a child, or it came naturally, you know, during your marriage with your husband?
Well, so I kind of wanted to have kids as a young person. And then after I got together with my husband, it has been, I think, 21 years. But in our first year of relationship, he kind of already told me that he didn't want to get married. And I'm like, huh? Like, but are you serious about me? Yeah. Are you committed? And he's like, yeah, I just, you know, don't really believe in marriage. So I was like, thinking about it. And I was like, okay, I'm okay with that. So we kind of went along with it. And then I think in our 15th or 16th year, I could tell he kind of wanted to get married, but he was like too man to suddenly change his mind, because he told me like long time ago that he didn't want to get married. So I kind of just went, hey, you know, do you want to have kids? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, then are you going to marry me? And then he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, you better do it soon, because my biological clock is ticking. You know, so he's like, oh, okay. So fast forward, he proposed to me. Actually, I was going to propose to him, and he beat me to it by 3 days. So I was like, oh, darn it. You know, but then, so that's our story. And then as soon as we got engaged, we were trying, but like just casually. And then after a while, I kind of like really thought about it. And I thought, you know, it might be hard for him to change his lifestyle after being this way for so long, you know, together for so long. So I kind of sat him down and I said, hey, you know what? I'm actually okay to not have kids, you know. And then he looked at me. He's like, no, I think, you know, we should try for kids. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm getting old. It's getting stressful. So, you know, unless we properly try, I think it's just like too much effort. And then he's like, well, Janet Jackson had a baby at 50. And I'm like, I'm not Janet Jackson, and I definitely don't want to have a baby at 50. You know, what if my, like, I die before my baby's like an adult? I don't want that. So I said, okay, well, if you want kids, then we have to like really try properly, like follow the schedule and all that. And we did that for a while, but didn't happen. So then we went on to IUI and then IVF. And I think we got really, really lucky just getting Raimi on the first try. I know a lot of friends went through like many, many rounds of IVF, and, you know, it's still tough. Like a lot of tears, heartache, and yeah, stress.
Yeah, speaking of, you know, fertility treatments, IUI, IVF, Rebecca, do you have a story that you'd like to share as well?
Yes, I do. So for me, I think for Andre and myself, my husband and I, we weren't actually very keen on having kids at the beginning after we got married, mainly because, you know, Andre was like, you know, into his work, and I was into dancing. So I thought, oh, we're still young, you know, we could just wait out a couple of years. After waiting a couple of years, and then we thought, okay, maybe let's start trying. And then like you, you know, you try and then you time things, and it was just actually very stressful. Yeah. I don't know if you felt that way.
It was stressful. I mean, I even did the, you know, keep your legs up in the air for 2 minutes.
The baby dance.
Yeah, keep the sperm in there for 2 minutes and just wait.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so you kind of like try all sorts of things and you read up and all that. But then, yes, it didn't quite work and you kind of wonder, like, is something wrong? For us, we decided then that we should get ourselves checked, you know, in terms of, you know, our fertility, whether there are any fertility issues. So when we got around to doing that, it was me who had the problem. So I had what they call like a low egg count. Mm-hmm. And also the quality was low. So basically, it's just not good. So the chances of conceiving naturally was very, very low. Right. Hence, that's why it took so long, you know. The doctor actually said that, you know, if you guys really, really want and serious about having kids, the only way is by IVF.
Right.
Yeah, so how was it like for you when you found out that, you know, you guys had to go through, you know, fertility treatments? Because I was actually quite sad, like, to realize that it was something wrong with me. And, you know, was it too late? You know, did I put myself first before thinking about having a family? You know, and hence this is why we had to go through this. So it was kind of like, it's me kind of a situation. I don't know whether you went through that.
I went through like an emotional thing when we were trying to get pregnant. And then when, oh, like, I feel so bad for saying this, but when I found out like girlfriends were getting pregnant,
yes,
it was really hard for me. I was happy for them, but it was really hard to be really happy.
Yes,
in fact,
correct.
I felt sad. I'm tearing because I feel like such a bad friend. Like, yeah, good friend got pregnant, and I just, like, it was really, like, it took me a couple of days to, like, reach out to say congrats, but, like, and I felt so bad that I couldn't do it right away.
Yeah.
But when we went for IVF, I was actually okay because I was thinking, like, oh, you know, I'm doing something to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was just like process. So I didn't feel sad during the IVF process. And I think, you know, maybe there was no problem with me. It just wasn't happening.
Yep.
So I didn't have to like say, oh, you know, something was wrong with me. Like in your case, you said like you couldn't get pregnant naturally. The doctor did say that you guys can try naturally, but because of my age, he's like, I'm not going to waste time. I think we should just go ahead. So I think for me, the end goal was like, let's just have a baby. So it didn't matter how we got the baby. So for me, the IVF process was just like, okay, step one, step two, step three. So it was more like pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
My sadness came from when I couldn't get pregnant naturally. So during the IVF process, it was actually more hopeful for me.
Yeah, I think that part I totally can understand as well. The other part when your girlfriend's around you, like everyone's, why is everyone getting pregnant and you're
and
not? What's wrong with me? Yeah, so on our end, I went through the treatment. My husband was very supportive. And we were also very, very fortunate that it was like a one-time kind of a thing. Because, yeah, I know, because I didn't have so many eggs that, you know, you can actually keep in storage, you know. So I literally only had two put inside me. And that was Damien. So I think for that, I'm also very, very thankful. So I suppose in that sense, my motherhood journey already started a little bit before. You know, is that I want to be, I'm ready now to be a mother, but I couldn't, you know. And then you wonder like whether even IVF would have been successful.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that feel of, you know, motherhood kind of started at that time.
Like becoming a mother for both of you was so much work, even before the baby is here. Like
so much emotion, I think. Yeah, it's emotion.
You always thought that, you know, becoming a mother is when the baby arrives. But, you know, for both of you, it was so much of like heart and hard work and emotions, you know, getting pregnant. Yeah, so, you know, with the pregnancy, And you know, with Remy now out, you know, what did you expect motherhood to be, and how was it like in reality?
Well, the hardest thing about motherhood for me is the husband.
Do you agree, Rebecca?
Do you also agree?
Yes, I think to a certain extent, yes. I hope my husband don't kill me when I'm hearing this, but
to a certain extent, yes. I mean, life changes.
I think for us, we had maybe 9-10 months to mentally prepare ourselves that life is going to change. We're going to have an addition to the family. So you have that time to kind of like sit there with your big belly to mull over things and be like, okay, you know, things are going to change. But I think for the husband, it's like, oh, she's pregnant. Let's make the most of the time before the baby comes. So it's like happy, 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 happy. Boom, baby comes out. What the... Right?
it's a different thing altogether, I must say. Yes, yes. So, like, even for me, I don't know, again, Ross, you know, this is, again, my own personal experience that, you know, before that, it was, I mean, everyone tells you that it would be different. Like, you know, you have less sleep and, you know, your lifestyle will be affected. But I think nobody really talks about, like, the relationships with the husband as well, you know, because it does, it will change because everything suddenly surrounds a baby. But because there is a new person that needs, you need to take care of, things do change with you and your husband. So I think that's something that's very real that I would say most women would.
Most couples would go through that.
I think like with the identity of becoming mother, you still have that role to play as a wife that you don't consciously prepare yourself that role of being a wife will also change. Like you're always preparing to be a mother, but what happens to that role of being a wife that maybe the husband also didn't like have that time and that space to sort of sit down and talk about how our role as a couple will evolve with the baby arriving as well.
I think I just want to add on here as well that, you know, motherhood to me takes your patience to a whole new level. Not just patience with your child, but patience with your husband. It redefines patience completely. For me, I feel like in the past, before having a kid, I was patient.
But now you're like, patient.
Maybe a bit of impatience. I mean, it just sets in, like, I don't know how to describe it, but it just hits you. And maybe it's hormones. I don't know. It could be hormones. It could just be like every little thing that your husband does also can just irritate you as well. So to me, I think one of the things I didn't expect motherhood to be is, you know, everyone tells you that, oh, you will learn to be more patient. But I actually feel that you actually become more impatient and you need to really remind yourself a lot more to find, is a gentle reminder to yourself that you actually really need to be a lot more patient with the people around you. To me, that's motherhood as well. Yeah, I didn't expect it to be like that. I thought I'll be like a very patient mother, you know, it's wonderful, but no.
Once you have a baby, you have the role of a mother, but we have to also remember that we are a wife, right? Yeah. So I think within the first couple of days of having Rainy, I remember I was like, oh, you know, I have to feed. And I think the newborn stage is, okay, to me, I don't think it's the hardest. It's the most hectic because it's like just consistently busy. Mm. You know, you just have to feed, change diaper, put to nap, and then
bathe. Wash bottles and
exactly.
That.
So it's just very hectic. But I'm going to say it's, to me anyway, it's not that hard.
Mm.
And I had no confinement nanny from day one.
Not at all.
So, but of course I have my mom and my helper, but it's really just like, to me, it's just chores.
Yeah.
So it's like if you cook a meal, you have to wash your dishes. Mm. So if you have a baby, you have to change the diapers and you have to wash the bottles and stuff like that. So yeah, within the first couple of days, my husband actually looked at me and said, you are my number one, okay? So I have to be your number one too. And I don't know where that came from, but I think suddenly he saw an attention shift from him to the baby, you know? And I said, it's not like you're not my number one, but it's because the baby needs this to be done now. Right. So I am focusing my attention on the baby, but it doesn't mean you are not important.
How did he take to that?
He just went, okay. I think he just suddenly, I don't think he said it because I was like completely ignoring him. I think he just was worried that it was going to go there.
Mm.
So then when I explained that to him, he was okay.
And you said this was during the first
few days, like third day or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Little things he would do would just like astound me. Like first month, your milk flow is, it's like just trying to come out. So I had a lot of engorgement and I have to wake up every 3 hours to pump or to feed the baby, right? Mm-hmm. So regardless of how much milk I have in the fridge for her, if I have not pumped, I would have to pump.
Yeah.
And he would constantly turn off my alarm clock in the morning and take the baby out of the room. And then I would sleep for 5-6 hours and I wake up with like engorged boobs and it's like so painful. So I'm like, What are you doing? Like, why do you keep turning off my alarm? And he's like, you are obsessed with the baby. It's not normal to keep waking up every 3 hours to feed the baby, okay? So I took the baby out to feed her and you should sleep and rest. And I'm like, I'm not waking up for the baby. I'm waking up for my boobs. Yeah, but he just thought I was crazy and obsessed. That's also because we are not informed. We didn't do a lot of research. Mm. So, and I guess communication on our part, like we didn't share why we had to do what we had to do. Yeah.
So after you explained to him, like, did he continue doing that? Like,
He did it a couple more times because he didn't believe me. And then I got like almost mastitis. Like I got a fever. I got like a red triangle on my boob stuck. I actually texted the LC here and I was asking her, I said, I think I have mastitis. What should I do? And she's like, just keep pumping. If you can clear it by yourself, really, really good. But if your fever persists, then you should go to the hospital.
Right. So after a few more times, he believed you.
I think that day when he saw that I had fever,
yeah.
And then, you know, I had like my boobs were rock hard. And I actually got him to like help me express, because I said my wrists were so painful and it's too painful for me to press myself. So he like helped me do it. And I felt so bad to the baby, but I just kept latching her every like 45 minutes. And I felt like I was using her. Mm. But my girlfriend, who's a mother, told me, don't worry, if your baby is full, she will not latch. Mm. So she probably wants more milk too, because it's not flowing well. So I was like, oh, okay. You know, so then she's doing me a favor and I'm doing her a favor. Well, not doing her a favor, I'm feeding her. Yeah.
But now it's, I mean, Yohei doesn't do that.
No. Yeah, okay. He gets it now.
Okay. Yeah.
Like what I'm hearing is that like you expected motherhood to be like that. And in reality, it did, you know, was a bit hectic, a bit chaotic. But it feels like your husband was the one who had a mismatch of expectations.
I mean, in fact, not getting a nanny was because of COVID, you know. So I wasn't very comfortable with, I actually booked a nanny, but I cancelled her in my 7th month. Because I was just worried about her traveling and coming into my house. And if she has COVID, there's nothing I can do, you know, and it's a newborn. And I was just like a bit worried. So my husband's like, you know what? We don't need a nanny. How hard can it be?
Yeah. That was the exact words that he said.
Yes. How hard can it be? Yeah. So, but I have to say, I'm not trying to like be like, oh man, it wasn't that hard, but it really wasn't hard. Like, first of all, I don't need a lot of sleep. So the every 3 hours having to wake up, it was tiring, but not too bad. I am also a pretty even-tempered person. So I would say only the first day I brought the baby back, I was a bit shocked, like, why she wouldn't sleep. Because I expected the every 3-hour thing. Then I realized my aircon was too cold. So she just kept waking up every 45 minutes for the entire night. And like I looked at my husband in the eyes and was like, what did we get ourselves into? You know, and then the next morning, my mom at 7 a.m. knocked on our door and like, hi, do you need my help? And I just shoved the baby at her and I said, see you later. And I just shut the door. I didn't even tell my mom what to do. I just shut the door on her, slept for like 2.5 hours. And then, yeah, so I would say that was the hardest day. Then after that, it's just routine, right?
I think you kind of got into the rhythm of things as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've also kind of built your own way and of doing things. And like you said, you know, it's really just... You just need to get a few things done. Well, a few things is an understatement.
Just
but
nonstop.
Yeah, just nonstop. But I guess you found your way.
I did have a lot of practice because my brother had twins.
Mm. So and you helped too.
Of course, The first 6 months was pretty like... I mean, I only did the daytime with my mom, but you can just see, oh, diaper change, feed the baby, burp the baby, nap the baby. So all those things were like, you know, I totally expected it. Yeah. I knew I had to do that.
But I think also being able to do the things, the chores, mm-hmm. it just makes motherhood, this whole motherhood journey, or at least the newborn stage, it just makes it more wholesome, I think, if I can.
Real?
Yeah, more real, because you get to do, I mean, you're part of the whole process of it. You know, like, you know, if you had someone to help you to do everything, as in when I talk about someone meaning like a helper, and you weren't the one who is doing all the chores yourself, you may not fully understand how hectic it is and, you know, what motherhood is like. So I think in that sense, there's also a gain in that sense, because you sort of feel, you know, you see it a little bit differently from other people as well.
For me, I can't say for sure because I didn't have a nanny, but mm-hmm. I would say... To anyone out there who wants to get a nanny, the point of a nanny is to help you rest while your body is healing. But I think I bounced back pretty quick. My C-section scar was not that painful as long as I kept the binder on. I find it very difficult to ask for help. So in the first 2 months, my helper did not carry my baby at all. She did not change a single diaper. All she did was like help me wash the bottles. That's it. I had the... bottle set from Hagen, and then there's one newborn bottle, and I thought, okay, every 3 hours that should be enough. So I only took out that one bottle. And I think my helper nearly died, like just washing. And then I realized that, oh, you know, there are other bottles, I can use that too, you know. But I was just using that one bottle, and like she just had to keep washing it. So now, you know, I have a system where, because I felt bad that she had to wash it so often on top of doing the chores. So now I kind of like put my pumps in the fridge. Bottles wash at the end of the day, so it's just once. Then, like, you know, things are pretty set. Like you say, it feels very wholesome because you're hands-on. But for me, it I feel that it actually prevented me from bonding with my child because I was pretty tired, but I'm not a grumpy person. So I was just like a robot, you know, oh, get up, feed, change diaper, do this, do that. And there was like no emotion involved. Mm. It's just responsibility, step by step by step. It's just a routine. So after the first month, I was, you know, still like, I'm not really feeling anything for my baby. And of course, she doesn't really do anything. She just like stares at the ceiling. You're like, hi. And she like ignores you. Second month, I went back to work. Everyone was like, oh my goodness, you're going to feel so sad when you leave the baby. I felt nothing. I was just like, bye. Wow, it's so nice to be out of the house without husband, without baby, just by yourself. And you're doing something for yourself as well. But I think in the third month where she's starting to now look at me and smile at me, starting to definitely feel more affection for her. And like, I love it when like, when she wakes up, she's like, you know, kind of like crying a little bit. I peep over into her cot. She looks at me and she just flashes me the biggest smile. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's what makes it worth it.
Yes, yeah. Correct, yes. So just now you mentioned, you know, the first time you were out during your second month postpartum for work, right? And you felt that relief to, you know, have nobody or no responsibilities regarding the baby and doing things that you like, you know, filming. How did you, you know, cope with this change in like, oh, should I feel guilt in terms of why don't I feel anything for my baby? Or this change in identity that, hey, I'm no longer, you know, just an actress or you're just a daughter, just a wife. How did you cope with this new identity change?
I don't think I felt much difference there. Maybe also because I'm pretty hands-on. I feel like I don't have a lot of mom guilt so
far.
That's
great.
I don't know. And so that when I actually do leave the house, I feel fine because I was there for her every step of the way. So I think it's fine for me to like go and do something for myself. I really feel that way.
What about you, Becky?
I think for me, when Damien was of that, like the newborn infant stage, I didn't really feel so much mom guilt. But I think when he's older now,
and he knows.
Yes,
him.
Correct. Okay. I think that for me, that was more of when the mom guilt sets in. Like, okay, maybe I should just give a short background. So Damien's been unwell for he has got a medical condition. Damien's had cancer for 3 years. So
3 years of his life?
No, when he was how old? 2 years old, yeah, two. So he was diagnosed with cancer, and then I was a stay-home mom to care for him. So I didn't go out for like the 2.5 years. I literally just spent all my time with him. I didn't go out, I didn't meet friends. So social life was really just sort of cut down a lot for me because number one, I had to care for him, and number two, I wanted to make sure I was healthy because if I went out a lot, you know, I might catch something and he's immunity compromised. So my sacrifice at that time was no minimum social interactions. So finally, when he was well, he was in remission, I remember I went out for the first time at night for dinner with my friends. And my husband was like, yes, you know, go out. And Damien was like, you know, yay, mommy, you can go out. And he was actually very happy for me. And Damien understood that I was going out. Damien by then was about 3 years old. Sorry, no, four years old. And I dressed up, you know, you put makeup, you put your hair. And you're like, oh, this is such a nice feeling. And then at the door, he came up to me and he gave me a hug. And yeah, I was excited. But then I felt like bad, like, you know.
Oh, I don't even know where you're going in this story, but I'm tearing up.
But I'm just saying that mom guilt, like, I think maybe at the later stage.
Yeah,
like
when they know
them. Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah, and also because I've spent some time with him. So for me,
that's amazing,
you know,
that, you know.
Yeah, but that wasn't my first night. Then after that, it was okay, like. I went out a few more times and I think
but like,
I was adjusted. I was like, I can do this.
At your first night, like, did you feel like, you know, I'm out, I'm no longer Damien's mom for that one night? Did you feel like, hey, then who am I? You know, or in Ross's case, it's like, now I'm a new mom, who am I now? You know, that feeling of that change in identity, because you've been stay-home mom with Damien for like 3 years, like you said, right? So that first night out or even the subsequent nights, do you feel like, oh, I'm...
But actually, Alison, I think we still feel like...
I don't think we feel like our identity has changed a lot because the people that you're meeting are all moms as well. It's all moms. Like, so you're still in that whole, you know, talking about everything motherhood. So it wasn't really so much of a change in identity. But I think for me, it was just more like, at the end of the day, you know that you are still, you're a mom to this kid.
whatever time that you have out with your friends, that's really just time for yourself. Yes. Yes, I felt that little bit of guilt, but it wasn't a guilt that was so overwhelming that it just completely overtook me. I think it's a feeling that moms will experience it at some point in time, maybe some more, maybe some less, depending on circumstances.
And you spent 2.5 years of your life with him. Yes, you deserve a night out.
Without feeling guilty.
But I'm glad I gave myself that chance to do it, because after that one time, and my husband was like, you should do this at least once every month, just to give yourself that time out. And
To recharge,
and yes.
Or like not think about anything
else.
Yes,
correct. Yeah. And I usually choose the nighttime, because then he goes to bed and I feel lesser guilt in that sense. I wouldn't keep thinking, I need to go home, you know, I need to go home. Yeah, so I kind of feel that, you know, I try to balance it out as well. So I kind of spend the whole day with him, and then, you know, at night mommy's going out. And yeah, so for me, the first night out, it was a bit emotional, but I think I needed that. And then that kind of kickstart, like, okay, I can do this, you know, nothing to feel guilty about, you know. Mm. Yeah. So that was for me, that was my
And aside from work, like just now we mentioned work and, you know, your role as an actress and a mother, what about like, you know, having fun? Did you feel like, you know, you might forgot to have fun, or you're always thinking like, oh, okay, this was life before I was a mom, I don't remember any of those?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, the first couple of months I didn't really go out much. Maybe two trips to the doctor for vaccinations and checkups. And then I had a few friends come visit me at the house. I went to a friend's house. But like first night out was when I went for my friend Gemma's wedding. And then when my husband went home with the baby, when it got late, I had to go sit by myself in the back of like the room in the dark to just gather my thoughts, because I'm like, oh, okay, this is my first night out. How am I going to do this? Yeah, but I think I had a bit of anxiety, but not so much about being apart from the baby. It was more like because I'm still breastfeeding. So I'm like, okay, how do I do this? I need to plan out my drinks so that I only have to pump and dump so many times. And then how much milk do I have in the fridge? You know, so it was like a lot of like, oh no, I didn't plan all this. So I planned on drinking a lot that night, but I just didn't know how. Like, I forgot how. So I had one drink every couple hours, which was like 4 drinks for the entirety of the whole day from like morning till like night, you know. And then, so I was a bit disappointed in myself when I got home. I was like, oh no, I forgot how to have fun. But yes, now I'm okay.
Okay, that's great. You found
it. Yeah, now I know how to plan it. Like, oh, okay, if I'm going to have a night out, make sure there's enough bottles of milk. Of course, some of my friends are like, oh, you don't really have to pump and dump. You can wait a while. But, you know, everybody's body is different. I don't want to give my baby milk that is not good for her. So then for me, it's just safer to pump and dump. Yeah, so now if I plan it better, I can actually have a good night out and enjoy myself.
That's great.
Yeah. We all get there.
So we are going to the end of the podcast. So was there any memorable moment where you thought to yourself like, hey, you know, I don't think I want to be a mom anymore, or what have I gotten myself into? Or a time where, I think just now you mentioned, you know, like when Rainy now is a little bit more responsive, you know, she smiles at you, she cools at you, and you're like, hey, actually, this is what makes it worth it.
I don't think there was a moment where I thought I don't want to be a mom, because I thought long and hard before, you know, we entered this IVF journey together. And when we had her, to me, I think the whole journey is the surprising thing about this whole motherhood journey was how I did not have a connection with her straight away. So I'm still like, I mean, of course I love her now, but I have not, I feel so sad thinking about it too, but like, I have not felt the immense love that people talk about. So I do think like, oh, is something wrong with me? Like, how come I don't love my baby so much? Yeah, like, so I mean, of course I'm totally okay with like carrying her, feeding her, playing with her. But as soon as like, let's say my mom's like, you want me to take her? I'm like, sure, take her. You know, I don't have the feeling like when other people come, I don't feel like I want to protect her or like keep her all to myself yet. I don't know. Is that how it's supposed to feel like? I'm not sure, Rebecca, if, you know, you have a child as well.
Yeah, but my journey is quite different in that sense. But I think it doesn't mean that other moms feel like that you need to feel the same as well, because again, you know, it's your own relationship with your child. And for me, definitely there hasn't been a moment that I don't want to be a mom. That one I can definitely say for sure. I think for me, because of my own experiences, it's more of I'm thankful that I can be a mom because I may not have been able to. So for me, it's more of that gratitude that I'm given this chance to be a mom. And because of, again, you know, Damien having gone through cancer, I think it's more like, how should I put this? That maybe there must be a reason why we were gifted him, or rather why we became his parents because of this journey that he was going to go through. So yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just kind of all meant to be in that sense. And I just have one and I'm just grateful enough for one. Like, you know, many people ask me, do you want another one? You know, have you thought of having another one? And I always reply them that, you know, for me, it was, I could possibly not even have had one. So I'm just grateful enough for one. Yeah. So I think for me, it is that I definitely am happy that I'm a mom and even more happy that I was given this chance to be because I could have not had the chance to be a mom. Yeah.
Thank you so much, both of you. You're like sharing so honestly. So the very last question would be, you know, what are three things that you wish you knew before becoming a mom, especially to our listeners who maybe are in the journey of conceiving, going through fertility treatments, and, you know, we want them to, you know, be supported and know beforehand, you know, what to expect before the baby's here.
Well, one thing is there's only so much you can plan before. A lot of things you do have to be open about going with the flow because that's, again, you know, if you plan so much, sometimes things don't go along the way you want. And I think it's also communication with your spouse. I think becoming a mother, while it's a new journey, but I also feel that with that, sometimes because you're so focused on being a mother and looking after the baby, we might have forgotten sometimes that, you know, we also need to constantly keep that communication open with our husband. So I can't think of three. I've only thought of two. No, maybe you can come up with the third one.
I super agree with the part where you say communication is very important with your partner, because even though I say the hardest thing about motherhood is the husband, I have to say that, you know, a lot of it is just that, you know, it's a difference in how you want to parent, right? And obviously the maternal instinct and the paternal instinct is just completely different.
Yes.
So I would say communication is key, you know, to allow each other, like, you know, when Yohei takes the baby out of the room or if he wants to do this instead of putting the baby down at bedtime, it's about expectations. So you need to communicate that. And I keep telling him, like, you're not letting me be the mother I want to be because you want to do it like this, but I want to do it like this. And I'm like, don't like mess up what I wanted motherhood to be like, you know, but then I'm also messing up what he wanted fatherhood to be like. You know, he expected like to be able to go out with the baby all the time, but, you know, it's the pandemic. I want to stay home with the baby. So things like that, communication is key. Another thing I think people can, if only they knew beforehand, was about, I think, breastfeeding.
Yeah.
So a lot of people talk about the birth and like taking care of the baby, but well, for me anyway, not many people told me about breastfeeding. I think that is the hardest part of like motherhood. It really is. And it's like way worse than pregnancy. And I thought I had it bad. But when I joined like a online support group, so many other people had it worse than me. And also, I feel like I can't complain. But the good thing about what happened to me was maybe a day before my birth, my sister-in-law actually texted me and she said, I wish I knew this before giving birth, was that, you know, you have to remember to pump. So pump so that you can activate your milk, because sometimes latching, if the baby doesn't latch well, your milk's not going to be stimulated. So I was like, oh, okay. But I didn't really know what she was talking about. So when the nurse, you know, first brought the baby to me, I was like learning how to latch. And then Yohei comes to my left boob and he's using like the Hegan pump, trying to pump my other boob. And I was like, excuse me, what are you doing? He said, my sister says you have to pump to activate the milk because you have no milk yet. So he pumped and pumped. And I was like, leave me alone. And then when the nurse moved to the other boob to latch the other side, he came over there and said, I have a photo of it. He's like, I'm there. And he's like, there, like trying to pump my boob, you know? And I'm like, hey, you're ruining my first moments with the baby because it's very hectic. Just like, let me have my moment with her. So he's like, okay. And then so when I took a nap, suddenly I feel my hospital gown being pulled open and then the pump was being put on my boob. And I was like, excuse me, what are you doing? He's like, well, you told me not to disturb you when the baby was on you, so I thought when you're sleeping would be the best time to do this. Guess what? The colostrum came.
Oh.
Yep. And it like, he was like, oh, there's milk. I was like, no. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's really like milk. Yeah. But also, I also learned, so I guess the third thing is to just be chill about things. You know, it's like literally no point crying over spilt milk. Because you never know, like what you said, you never know what's going to be thrown your way. There's no point planning. So I think at the hospital, I managed to like pump like 5 ml
That's
or 10 ml.
Great already.
Yeah. I was like, gosh, and Yohei was like helping me press it because I was like, oh, it's like so painful.
Yohei is very determined. Wasn't
yes, he's very focused. Was, when he needs to do something, he does something. So I'm thankful that my milk was activated. I think because of him, because I probably wouldn't have been so crazy about pumping. I would just probably do it during the latching. You know what I mean? Nobody tells you about, I mean, they talk about engorgement, but nobody tells you really what it feels like. It's, until now, I can't explain it. Like, Yohei was like, what does it feel like? I can only explain that it feels like you're constipated, but on your boobs. It's like you need to take a dump, but you can't. So you need to express your milk, but you can't. Does that make sense?
That gives me a good idea. Well,
yeah. So I mean, you can still function, obviously, like when you're looking for a toilet, you're like, oh, my stomach hurts, but you can still move around. It's the same, but it's a pretty shitty feeling. Yeah, so I managed to like pump out a little bit with Yohei's help. And then, you know, at the hospital, they say, oh, you should try and cup feet or feet with like your finger because you don't want to give the bottle yet. So we tried to do that, but it was like, Yohei said, oh, it takes so long to feed with the finger. Yeah. So he said, let me pour it onto my finger. And of course, he misses his finger and
pretty much,
you know, everything that I pumped was on the floor. And then we just looked at each other and then he went, it really wasn't that much. I'll say yes, but it was all I had. Then he's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, it's okay. Like, then I felt like I wasn't really bothered by the spilt milk because obviously, I think I just want to tell all mothers out there, like, if the intention was good,
was there, yeah.
then you don't need to be upset. Otherwise, you're going to be, like, fighting about every little thing. Yeah. And like you said, communication between a partner is important. You get irritated or impatient with your husband about, like, how they do things, every little thing. I was doing, like, a postnatal massage. And, you know, Yohei was around the room. And he was taking care of the baby.
I'm interested to hear where this is going.
Yeah. So I just kept like looking at him, you know, when I was face down, I kept looking up to like see what he's doing as he's changing the diaper. And I didn't even realize I was doing this. And finally, when I turned around, the masseuse actually put the towel over my eyes and she went, it's going to be okay. It will be fine. You will never do it the way you want it, but it will be fine. Just close your eyes. And she just covered my eyes. And I just like laughed.
That is a perfect sentence. It's very true. It will never be the perfect way you want it to be, but he will do it. Like it will get done. But
my mom does it the way I want it to be done.
Different. Yeah. Father's mother. I mean, husband, mother and father, different. Yeah. Definitely different. Yes. And I think this communication takes you through even, I mean, now Rainey is 3 months old. It will take you through. And this is needed. This communication is really needed as your child gets older because there's just going to be more things.
Every step of the way as she achieves each milestone is like another topic to discuss.
Exactly. Yeah. And the parenting styles also changes as you know, your child grows. So again, that communication is needed, I think, you know, and maybe even until they're 18. I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah.
These three things are not just, you know, for new moms, but like for all moms, right? Yeah. So, but at the end of the podcast, so we just have one small segment, which is what does motherhood looks like, tastes like, sounds like, smells like, and feels like. So basically the five senses. So for example, motherhood looks like never-ending bottles to wash, or motherhood smells like poo. So Rebecca will be playing this game. So you have about 5 seconds to answer
each of the five senses.
You can take turns maybe. Then we can see where this goes. Okay, so who wants to go first?
Okay, Rebecca, I'll go motherhood. Motherhood looks like a mess of Lego.
Yes, we've seen her photos
everywhere. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so the next question is, what does motherhood taste like?
Motherhood tastes like saliva, sweat, and breast milk.
Very good.
Yeah. So you breast milk as in like you taste your own breast milk or?
No, it just I mean, one time Yohei was like, what is that smell? And I'm like, I don't know. I just took a shower. Maybe it's my soap. He's like, nope, nope. And then I was like, oh, it's just breast milk and saliva. I don't know. Like, I smell it too. I smell it too.
Oh, you smell it now? Really?
Now, no. But I think the first month I can smell it. Oh. Like,
what does it smell like again?
I feel like it's saliva with breast milk.
Saliva with breast milk.
But I really don't know because I showered, so it can't still be on my body. So I think it's maybe the hormones.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I can smell it also. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, since she answered like taste and smell, let's just go to sound. So motherhood sounds like?
Whining every day. Mommy, 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 where are you? Mommy this, mommy that.
So like Damien came to our office for one of our Mother's Day shooting, and then he actually made a comment about Rebecca saying like, oh, you know my mommy, when it's cold, she'll say, so cold, I need to wear my cardigan, I need to wear my jacket. And then we're out, you know, for lunch and stuff, she'll be like, it's so hot, I need to take it out. So I can totally imagine the wife.
He's a very expressive cherry boy.
Yes, very expressive, very whining. Okay, mommy. But honestly, like at home, when somehow, you know, when they need something, it's always like, mommy, mommy, you know. And when they want to play, it's always daddy, daddy. But when they want something, they need something, it's mommy, mommy.
I think you're like, because you're the main caregiver.
So. I mean, when you're busy, it does get very irritating after a while. But yes, so mommy, motherhood sounds like whining to me. Yes.
Okay, well, so the last one is motherhood feels like.
What, you look at me?
Yes.
I need to think about this.
Yeah, motherhood feels like?
Motherhood feels like a roller coaster of emotions.
Totally, I agree.
This
with that.
Podcast is a roller coaster of emotions.
I can't pinpoint, like, if it's exactly like joy. Mm. I can't pinpoint if it's like, you know, frustration. It's a whole roller coaster of emotions.
Yes, I can totally.
It's totally a mix.
Yeah, understand and. Wow, what a journey.
Look forward to you becoming a mother, Alison.
I look forward to sharing as well. So thank you so much, Ross, for your honest vulnerable sharing. Rebecca as well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alison, and thank you, Ross, again for being on this podcast with us. If you enjoyed this episode, we have many more episodes on motherhood with our Hagen Moms. So do follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts to be notified when our next episode drops.
That's right, Rebecca. You can also stay updated with us on our Instagram and Facebook at Hagen, as well as TikTok at Hagen Official.